I Shook Experience, where I, Chad Nafusi, and my co-host, Benny Rachmaninoff, CEO of I Shook, embark on a journey of discovery in pursuit of that elusive work-life harmony. This is something we all strive for. And look, while we may not claim to be experts, we are passionate seekers of answers, just like you, our valued audience. So have you ever wondered how to achieve that elusive work-life balance I'm discussing? So there's only a limited number of hours per day. And if so, you're not alone. We're here to seek out those answers together, not just for our benefit, but for yours as well, the greater I Shook Experience community out there. We need to find these answers. So throughout this podcast series, we will delve into various aspects of work-life balance, everything from managing your professional ambitions to nurturing your personal well-being, because without that balance, where are we, right? So basically, we're going to be sharing practical tips, insights, and stories to empower you in this quest for balance. And remember, it's not just us talking at you. As I say this every week, we want to hear from you. We want to share your experiences, your own challenges, and your successes as well, so that we have that growth, that resilience, and the way to just thrive in every aspect of life. But fear not, we're here for you. Benny and I are here for you. In today's episode, we're going to explore mindfulness and how that works. And it's really great because, Benny, last week on the episode, such a fun time. I just am having a blast doing this show with you. We covered a lot of ground, and we discussed basically the potential of using technology and AI to find a work-life balance. So we turned technology from a distraction to an asset, Benny, and we covered a lot, including I Shook's the new AI capabilities that we have over here at I Shook, which is really cool to go over. Thank you for sharing that.
Definitely. No, always. Anytime. I mean, I believe AI is the future of typography and copywriting. I think that for sure. That's no doubt.
And you've been at the forefront of the evolution of it from the earlier days of typography, and book publishing and things, all the way through now being on the advent and the cusp of the newest technology with AI and I Shook AI right there in particular. So basically, though, we encourage our viewers to explore AI to increase their own work-life balance. But this week, we're totally switching it up, which I love that we can do this and we can cover all ends of the spectrum. So we're going away from technology and we're delving into the realm of mindfulness and how it can contribute to a better work-life balance and integrate insights from AI to just enhance your personal well-being. And this is something near and dear to my heart because, Benny, I'm always looking to be present, to be in the moment. I feel like when you're present, when you're focused, that 1 hour of time is so much more than an hour where you're scatterbrained. So I have some questions for you to get started. Then I want to go over some other topics and points. And then, of course, our takeaways, our action items. So you, our viewers, it's something that you can do right after the show and try it and let us know what you think about it. So this is really cool. So, Benny, I don't know. I know you're super busy. You're a CEO of a company. You've got a ton going on. You're a scholar, very fascinating person. And you're a family man, too. So how do you, and do you at all, incorporate any kind of mindfulness practice into your daily routine, and has it impacted your productivity?
Well, what I do for my daily routine first of all, like you said, like what JFK used to do with the micro naps, right? Yeah. So for sure, if I'm doing like a 3 hour night or 4 hour night sleep, then of course, during the day, I would do the micro naps if possible, right? Yeah. And it helps a lot. Micro napping actually is very good. It does good for the body, and I think it's said. But again, there are many studies that sleep deprivation is really bad. So I suggest everybody, depending on your mental fortitude, right, and depending mm-hmm. on, like we said last time, whether you've exercised properly your mental fortitude or your physical fortitude, right, mm-hmm. I wouldn't suggest to everybody to just start not sleeping at night, right?
Right.
All right, you gotta really have that skill set. And by the way, most people in the rabbinical world, they don't sleep at night. They're doing mm-hmm. 4 hours a night. I mean, honestly.
Really?
Most scholars, most academics, they're not sleeping. Mm-hmm. Their mind can't sleep because if you're stuck in an idea, you wanna mm-hmm. finish that idea. That's why, by the way, I hesitate myself to write sometimes. Mm-hmm. Because once I write something, I don't wanna stop because I don't wanna lose my train of thought. I don't wanna lose the flow.
Right.
And that so that's why also that's another fear why I don't write sometimes, because I'm like, okay, now I gotta write. If I start writing, I'm gonna be stuck 2-3 days. I won't be able to do anything else.
Right.
My mind is gonna be stuck on that. Yeah.
You can't stop until your mind gets that out and onto paper.
Until I finish that idea, whatever I'm writing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Because once you're in the flow, why would you cut your flow? If your mind is on the flow of running, if your processor is moving, why cut it?
Right. So that is where you're so focused that you're almost, you're in the moment, but you're not necessarily getting that kind of work-life balance because you're so focused on that. So is there anything that you do or have done in terms of just a kind of mindfulness, almost a meditative or practice that you do to focus yourself to just make sure you can power through to get that idea out so you're not distracted? Are there specific things you do, or is it just how your mind works naturally?
Well, no, I don't think it's natural. Well, maybe, I don't know if it was naturally, but I think every person has a natural gift, and it's whether you grow that gift, right?
Right.
But for sure, no doubt in my mind, when I'm in a workspace and I'm doing work, basically whatever my projects are, like for example, if I'm going to do your project, right?
Yeah.
I will stop after an hour, 2 hours. I don't have that passion to do someone else's project. I used to do it with full conviction. Other people, there's no gain. I always lose. Not offense to you, but I'm just saying in general, right?
I know.
Right. So the idea is for me to start doing up when I start doing a project, and I don't stop in a sense. Now, when do I stop? After exhaustion, right? When you're fully exhausted, then you stop. Now, why don't I stop? I think it's because of the discipline of focus and discipline and discipline. Mm-hmm. So the discipline of focus. I think focus is a discipline. That's what I'm trying to say. So because of the focus is a discipline, once I'm on something, I'm on it. Right. I finish it. Right. Definitely. I do set myself up for incremental work. Like I would do one project for this 2 hours, another one for another hour. I would split my tasks. But what I don't do, this is what I don't do. If anyone in the family or anyone outside, friends, asks me to do something, I don't drop nothing for them. I don't drop nothing for them. I made it clear to everyone around me. If I am doing a task and you ask me to do a task, I will not drop my current tasks for your task.
Interesting. I like that. Okay. So that way you're mindful in the sense that you are focused. You almost have blinders on because you're saying, once I'm done, then I can fully focus on you, but I can't half focus on both because it's short shrift to each of them.
Or even not half focus to drop another task for your task, because you just said now. I tell people I'm not on demand.
Right.
I'm not
an
app that you can download. There's no on demand. I mean,
I'm
busy doing one, not unless it's an emergency.
Sure.
Emergencies are emergencies.
Right.
Unless it falls into other bigger responsibilities that I have.
Right.
And that's fine. But there's no way I'm going to drop everything, lose my focus. And I think that's what happens to a lot of people. What you're doing is you're dropping what you're doing for other things. You are training your mind not to focus and have this 80, you know, this attention deficit.
Right. Oh, you know what? I like that's great actionable advice right there, viewers, because if you're doing it, do what you're doing, complete it, then move on. And I'm guilty of exactly what you're saying. I was doing some very busy work the other day. My kids were home. They wanted veggie straws and dill pickles. I don't know why. I dropped what I was doing. I went out. I tried to be, with a cool dad, get it for them, and then come back. But then I had to take time to regroup and get back to my work. And you're right. I would have been better off saying, we'll do it in 2 hours. But I was just kind of like, we'll go get it. It'll be fun, a fun break. But it actually didn't. It splintered it. And it was hard to regroup and get back in. So that's a great thought. I'm going to start doing that. So you say no, basically, not right now. Respect what I'm doing. Let me finish it, and then I'll be available to you later on, possibly.
Right, but I'll give you a little bit of advice on what you did over there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like if you would have had to go, you went to you got to be a good father. You got to show your kids that your work is.
They love veggie straws.
Right, but you got to show that they're secondary. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. That they're secondary. Now, that not that they're secondary, that work is secondary to them, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But what you should have done is before you've removed yourself from that task, prepare your removal.
Interesting. Okay, so expound on that.
So basically, let's say I'll give you an example. When I do typography, you can't talk to me.
Okay.
Right? If I'm working on a religious book or any other customized book that we do within local printing in our community, or, you know, I still do that to keep myself grounded, you know, because you want to still keep those skills moving. Right.
Sure.
So one of my biggest skills is using InDesign. Right. in design and typography and all that stuff. So when I'm doing typography, listen, you're talking about letter by letter, text by text. You can't have one line missing. It's religion. Right. It's religious. It's whatever it is. It's a, if it's a magazine or it's a digital product, you got to be very careful how you do it, how you analyze it. Unless I had to just drop it and go do something else for whatever instance it would be. I would complete that page. Say to myself, okay, this is what I got to do. This is where I'm at. Okay. Prepare my exit. Right. So when you prepare your exit, you're not coming back with this array. Okay. Where was I? What was I doing? No. You're preparing your exit.
Right. Right. So you're picking up right where you left off then.
Yeah. Because your mind is set already. This is where I was left off. But if I just quickly go without any focus on where I was, then you're gonna lose yourself. Okay, what am I doing now? I forgot what I did. You know, like So any task you do, you have to do the task, preparing yourself to do the task, and then prepare yourself to leave the task. It's very important.
Love that. Right. Okay. So prepare yourself to do it. Prepare yourself to leave or finish it or prepare the break in between. I love that. Unless it's an emergency. And certainly, veggie straws and pickles are not an emergency. They're not. They're delicious. Yeah, they're not an emergency.
But you want to listen, but you want to show, you know, it's very important that parents show their kids that.
Yes.
Yeah.
That they were very happy. They dug into that.
That experience and that itself is satisfactory to actually do better work. Think about it. Right.
That's true.
Achievement and accomplishment is always a satisfactory, it's always a better feeling than anything else, right? And obviously, what are we doing? What does anyone do anything in business and in work for their children?
Sure.
So they can have a head start in life, right?
Right. Right. Okay.
That's really what we're doing it for.
Okay. But on the other hand, they need to understand too, honor thy father and mother. If I'm working, honor that as well. And that could be some balance.
That's the balance. Sometimes you say no. Yeah. Sometimes you say yes. If you say yes all the time, then guess what? Who's in control in the house? It's not you.
Right.
It's not you. It's your kids, right?
Right. I have two teenagers. I'm not in control of this house. I need to be. That's why I'm here exploring work-life balance, Betty.
I'm fully control of my house, and I got three teenagers as well. So,
okay, good. See, this is why I'm learning as well. I could, as you said, I'm seeking answers. You're seeking answers. And this is the beauty of the podcast, that we each have something to give to each other. The viewers have something to give and get from this experience as well. So this is what I love. We're doing it live on air. We're growing. We're growing together.
Which, by the way, is great. Just as a side point, one of the key successes with raising children is you never raise your voice. If you from their childhood have never raised your voice, they would automatically be afraid to go against you.
If you never raise your voice.
Yes.
And why is that? Because of the fear of it being raised one day?
Because if a person always raises his voice against his kids say, my father's crazy. My father's crazy. And you're yelling all the time. Your disciplinary power has become a thing that they're used to.
Right.
But if your disciplining power is something that they're not used to, right, then they'll be afraid to go through it as children and as teenagers. And if they if they do experience that disciplinary issue, right, then they'll be afraid. They'll say, okay, you know, I struck a chord with your father. But then they'll love you more, obviously. They'll have the reverence. They'll have the fear of losing your love, which is very important.
Interesting. Okay.
And that's in anyone. Don't yell at anyone. People shouldn't be yelling at their wives. Wives shouldn't be yelling at their husbands.
Right.
Raising the voice should never exist in a home. Never.
Like that. Yeah. Okay.
In a workplace, maybe, depending on how the guy pisses you off. No, just kidding. Even in a workplace, you shouldn't be raising your voice.
Because you're maintaining the power. If you let someone steal your peace and make you angry and raise your voice, then you've just handed the power over to them. So I think that's what you're saying.
Well, not just that. True power is in your ability to limit yourself.
Okay. Like having some control, you mean?
Right. So one of the biggest philosophical questions is, can God create a rock that he cannot lift, right? That's the biggest philosophical question, right?
Right.
The reality is yes and no. God created the rock. God created the inability to lift. But But at the same time, we see this, you know, if you, we see this every day. God has the whole universe. Universe is built on nature. There's a law of nature, a law of signs that he created. That law is not being broken. When it's broken, it's called a miracle. But it can't be called a miracle if you have miracles every day.
Right, right, yeah. And if it can happen, then it was possible in the first place. So
exactly. So it's both at the same time. But the limitation makes God who he is. That's what makes him God.
This is like quantum. Yeah, it's like quantum theory existing in two states at the same time. It's like Schrodinger's cat or something. Everyone listening, the first quarter hour of this show, we have had groundbreaking intellectual discussions, and I'm learning. I think I'm up 10 IQ points than I was 15 minutes ago already. Benny, this is awesome. I love it.
We'll have a problem if you're not growing your IQ. We're all growing our IQ with these discussions.
Absolutely. I love it. In only 15 minutes, at the end of this show, I'll be four times smarter than I was at the beginning. This is fantastic. What a takeaway. I love that. So are there any specific techniques you do, Benny, though, before you go into a task? You know you're doing typography or study or business, and you need an hour fully focused. Is there anything you do for me? I do.
Right. Yeah. So I'll tell you what I had problems with. So let me tell you.
Okay.
I used to drink like 8 cups of coffee a day. I still drink a lot of coffee, right? Mm-hmm. Not a lot, but now it's limited to 2 or 3 cups a day.
Okay. I drink Japanese green tea. That's what I have.
Yeah, I can't drink the green tea because that drops my blood pressure, and I need high blood pressure. I need the energy. Okay. I need the energy.
Right, gotcha. I'm just kidding.
No, in a safe way, obviously. Right. So what I do now, and I did this from August, and I started drinking pH water, pH plus water. So I'm not going to mention the water bottles, right? Because you can. They got to pay us to promote them, Chad. I mean,
We will mention them when they sponsor.
Sponsoring, yeah, we'll reach out to them for sponsorships. All the water companies, if you want me to sponsor and Chad to sponsor, you're more than welcome to call us. We're here.
Oh, yeah.
We're here. Mm-hmm. All right. You can follow me on LinkedIn. Just hit me up and we'll anyway, or Chad, either one. So basically what I do is I drink pH plus water from pH plus of 8 and up.
Okay.
Ever since I done that, I've lost 50 pounds.
Really?
I eat even more than I ate before. Right. And on top of that, I feel so much better. Because the pH water gives you oxygen to your system.
Okay. And this is the only difference you've done at this time. In other words, if there's a control experiment, this is the only variable, is that you've upped your pH water.
Yeah. It's a huge variable. Wow. Because before, see, when you're younger, you can go to the extreme level, right? Mm-hmm. You can push your body. When you're 20, 25, 30, 35, once you're hitting the age of 40 and up, you got to figure out something else, right?
Right.
So, but
yeah, you need it from an external source because your cells aren't regenerating like they were when you were younger, right?
No, right, no doubt. And first of all, when we grew up, I think there was no such thing as the pH water. I mean, what was pH?
Tap water, right?
Yeah, it was tap water. You want some water here? Let's mix iced tea. I mean, like there was no, pH.
No, it was here's 2 parts hydrogen, 1 part oxygen. Mix it up and drink it out of
that's
here.
That's it. Now you got the pH, you got the hydro water, you got the replenished water, you got the vitamins of waters. You know, it's all
that's
there.
Right. If we were lucky, we had the iced tea mix or the lemonade mix that came with the big jug.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I remember only lemonade and iced tea. That's all we drank. Yeah. I mean, that was the only.
And the same pitcher. We had every house with the same pitcher, at least in my neighborhood, that all the parents had the lemonade or iced tea out of. It was like one brown pitcher, must have been on sale one day. But anyway, so now there's more knowledge about it and awareness, and you've discovered this. So when you're raising it, you're buying it raised. You're not doing anything to add alkaline substances or anything. You're getting it bottled.
Well, listen, you could buy the Kangen water machines and you can add it to your house. Those cost about $5,000, I think, or $6,000. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I'm sure they also have financing on them. You can get it. But I don't want to do it because you have to always change the pH. You have to now go to the thing. You know, I buy a bunch of boxes.
Right.
Leave it by my house and it's in the corner. When I need a bottle, I just take it. You know what I mean? I'm trying to save my time. Like I try, everything I do right now is how much time I can conserve so I can rest better. And I can obviously work better. That's what I do.
Work-life balance. That's exactly it. And are you drinking this exclusively, the increased pH water?
No,
since
I
you
drink.
started it?
I still drink a little big gulp here and there, you
Gotcha. Okay.
know.
Well, that's the balance, right? That's the balance.
Yeah. Because you can't always drink all water. I mean, if you drink
Right.
all water, you need some sugars. But what I did do is I took sugars instead of coffee. So, you
Okay.
know, I drink. That's how I drink less coffee because coffee is not necessarily good for the heart, right? So
Right.
you gotta balance that out, you know, as much as possible.
So
And
before you
but.
start a task, you're making sure you're well hydrated and you're finding that pH water helps you with this
No,
focus.
no doubt, no doubt. My focus is much better. My abilities are much better when you're drinking pH water, water with pH, I mean, right? So that's very important. That's for
Okay.
sure. That's like a non-starter. Today we have that technology, we have that understanding, and you need to go for it.
Right. Okay. Wow, that's an interesting thing. So is there anything else you're doing? So before, say you have a big meeting where you're in leadership, you're in decision making, is there anything that you're doing? Okay, I have a meeting, I need to be really focused. I know I'm hydrated, I know I'm well rested, I know I'm prepared. Are you doing any breath work, anything physical or anything else, or are you just going into the meeting knowing with confidence that I'm prepared, I'm ready to roll?
Well, if I go to a meeting, depending on where the meeting is, usually I'm confident, honestly. Usually I'm very confident because I know my material, I know my stuff. You're not going to be confident if you don't know your stuff. So
Sure.
people who think they're, oh, entrepreneurship is for me, guess what? You better be good at starting projects and ending projects, right? You better be good at research and development. These
And
are the
no one
key
overseeing
elements.
you. Right.
And Sam, what's it again?
And no one overseeing you, that you are overseeing
Oh
yourself.
yeah, that there's no one pushing you constantly to make sure you're doing it, right? So it's
Right.
self-discipline. You gotta discipline yourself to do it on your own. I mean,
Right.
those are the key, those I think are are key for any entrepreneurship. And those are the
Right.
key things that you need for family as well, and building that work-life balance. I mean, whatever you
Right.
want to do as a hobby in life, whether you're gonna go fishing, whether you're gonna go bicycling, right? Whether you're gonna be whatever you're gonna be doing, you need that ability to do it on your own, right?
Right.
I mean, of
Yeah, okay.
course, it's good to have a friend or a companion to either go to the gym or to do this bicycling. Of course, it's more fun. It's much more easier, right?
Right.
There's no doubt. That's why listen, I also have a business partner, right? So it's easier because I had the business partner. But in the
Right.
actuality of work, it's really me who's orchestrating and doing it all. So, you
Right.
know, so that balance in itself, what everyone should be doing is they should be really focused on self care and self development.
Okay. Self-care and self-development. Okay. I like that.
And
So let's
also, don't
explore
be
that a little
afraid to evolve. Don't be afraid to evolve. If you're afraid
bit.
to evolve in business, then you will lose.
Right. Okay. Evolve in what sense?
Well, as the world grows, you must grow too. I'm talking about only growth. I'm not talking about the
Right.
DEI requirements and all these other requirements. I don't believe in none of that, you know?
Okay. So, right. In other words, even on your own arc, you've gone from typography, which you still do, but that's more of an ancient practice, to as far as AI, which is the cusp of the latest practices. So that's part of
Well,
your own business
I
evolution.
want to call typography an ancient practice. I mean, AI
Okay.
can only AI cannot create any instant magazine for you.
True, right.
You can create AI tools to create it. Listen, we're not there yet. We're Star Trek level. You know,
Right.
computer, please give me an apple, you know, and then gee, apples
Right.
coming, right? That we're not
Right.
there. We're way behind that. I mean, I don't even know if we're gonna
Yeah.
get there. We are already getting through machine products that process food and create steaks and create, you know. I honestly do believe we will get to there's a show on net on Amazon Prime called Upload.
I've seen it. Yeah.
Right. And
Fascinating, isn't it? Yeah.
they have a thing where a turkey is being made from
Right.
scratch in a machine, right? For a turkey. Yeah, I believe that kind of thing will happen because we do have the lab grown meat is being very much accepted, and I'm very big pro I'm a big how do you say it?
A proponent of it?
Yeah,
Yeah.
proponent of it. Yeah.
Right.
Tip of my
Okay,
tongue, yeah.
so speaking of, so if you're watching it, you don't know, Upload is on Amazon Prime, and basically they upload your consciousness. Instead of passing away, you still are alive in an alternate universe, but you can interact with the people who are still alive because your consciousness has been uploaded. And that's a fascinating, I watch it because it's so fascinating to me, because they're both almost like Schrodinger's cat, the example. They're both alive, and dead at the same time and existing in this quantum state. So it's a great point that in Upload, what they've done, but we are not there yet. But it's kind of an inkling of what where we might be able to go, but not yet.
I don't think you'll be able to do an Upload ever in history.
Really?
I don't think it's possible. It's like, if it depends if you believe in a soul. You know, I don't believe you believe in a soul, right? You can't do it. It's not going to happen.
Right. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. And who knows? It's a fun thought experiment when you're watching Upload. I like to watch it and see what's going on because, yeah, forget it. I could talk about that show for a while because even with the money, what are you going to pay for a million years? It's eternity. How could you get it going for eternity? What happens at the end? But that's neither here nor there either. So, but it's a fun show to watch for sure. So in terms of self-care and development, you're talking about what would you suggest or what are you doing for self-care that not only helps you with your work-life balance and your productivity, but in just mindfulness and being present as well? What are you doing there? Are we talking physical activity or?
Well, yeah, sometimes it depends. So, yeah. Sometimes, all the time, because you have to balance your life and everything. You can't do it all.
Right. Okay. Right. Gotcha. Okay. So in terms of self-care, do you go and regularly just take walks, go to the gym?
No, I don't go to the gym. I don't go to the gym. Okay. I walk around the block, things like that.
Right.
Yeah, okay. I walk, I do things. I don't do anything else by that.
Right. Okay. And that's just part of it. So part of the development. Excellent. Okay. So what advice would you give? I mean, you've given a lot of advice, but is there one easy starter that someone's a beginner and they're like, I'm not focused. I have all these meetings. I cannot stay focused. Besides what we were just talking about, is there number one thing you would say, do this today and watch how it improves? Would it be the water? Would it be something else?
Water's for sure. If you don't have pH water in your body, you're not going to be able to get anywhere else. That's no doubt about it. You need to have that pH water. You need to be hydrated. Hydration is very important because the body loses about 2 liters a day. So if you don't have that, then you're going to lose.
And so that's all about being properly oxygenated too, having enough oxygen through that.
Of course, yeah.
Okay, I love that. Interesting. Okay, so off of those questions, there are a few other points that I want to talk about. Because mindfulness, discussing ancient practices, so I was wrong at typography. I'm just thinking it's been around for a while. So I didn't mean to call it ancient, but it's been around for a while. And
What do you mean? InDesign is one of the biggest products that Adobe has. I mean, that's not ancient. You know, that's not
right. But I mean, in sense of that, it's been around for a long time, right? It's been something that's been used throughout human history, I guess, for a while, or maybe I'm wrong. When I'm thinking typography, I'm thinking, you know, older textbooks and things and how you would set it. But I could be off too.
No, that's you're looking at ancient movies. You're looking at ancient movies. That's already you're looking at probably the new Benjamin Franklin movie from Michael Douglas.
that's exactly what I'm thinking, Benny.
That's not what's going on in typography. Typography is page layouts. It's different. You got to look up InDesign. I think everybody should have the skill of InDesign, Photoshop, Illustrator. Everyone should have that skill if you're an entrepreneur. You should know how those platforms work.
That is so funny you said that, because that's what I picture. We get off and then you're going with this giant printing press and you're setting page. And I go, wow, Benny feels cool.
No, that's not the way printing works anymore. No, that's not at all.
I take back ancient practices then. So you're not writing with a quill pen either then, I take. So, okay. It's come
definitely,
a long way.
Definitely.
So one of the things I do, Benny, because for me, I need to focus. I need to be present. And I don't like being monkey-minded or scatterbrained where you're just all over the place. So for me, I do things that are like simple, mindful breathing. And I do that every morning. And you could do this in the form of prayer. You could do this in the form of contemplation. Just focusing on your breath, which is your soul, which is your life force, right? And if you're connected with it, you're good. This calms your mind, enhances your focus and your stress. Even eating. These are things that give work-life balance. If I'm, like you said, if you're scattered, you're scattered. And if you're doing something, I'm going to eat right now. And until I'm done eating, I'm not going to be necessarily working and eating. I try to mindfully eat. Now, for you, you may say, well, Chad, I eat at my desk and I do 10 different things at the same time. I try to break it off and I'm eating for 15 minutes and that's all I'm doing. And I'm really focusing. I'm not trying to watch anything. I'm focusing. It increases your digestion, better food choices, things like that. So have you done that? When you eat, Benny, what does that look like? Are you doing a lunch at your desk?
Same thing. I just eat, but I don't do other things when I'm eating.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And
Unless
what do
it's
you
a snack. If it's a snack, then I'm like, if it's a coffee and a cookie, it's a different story. But if it's like a real meal with a salad or whatever, chicken, whatever it will be, you know, then for sure I don't eat while I'm doing other tasks. Meaning right, I don't do tasks while I'm eating.
Right. Because that is the task at hand. That's part of that balance too, because then you come back rejuvenated. When you're doing things like time management, a lot of it being mindful of what you're doing instead of rushing in and saying, I'm going to go do a task, but being mindful and saying, I'm going to do a task. I'm going to prioritize the subtasks within this task. And then that will lead to more efficient task completion. It'll also reduce procrastination because you see a map that you can. So these are just points that I like to bring out because this is what I do myself. So you focus on something, you set a realistic goal, and then, you know, you do time blocking. There's different techniques, and this helps to achieve a better work-life balance. And that's the goal here, to enhance your overall time management skills. In terms of stress, Benny, how do you deal with stress? Obviously, you have a lot going on. Community leader, business leader, family leader. There's got to be stresses with that.
Yeah, there is stress with that, but I'm used to it already. Okay. Honestly, I'm used to it. There's a limit. I mean, everyone has a limit, but I think my limit is higher than the rest. Okay. I'm used to it, but at the same time, my used to it, it depends on what you're doing, right? But it's like the gym. Your body can retain stress as much as you worked out. So as much as stress you've experienced and you overcame that stress, overcame that issue, then you're able to sustain more stress. That's what I believe because I see it in my own life.
So you mean your body's more inured to it because you build it up like you build up a muscle? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's what I think.
Okay, right. That makes sense because you're used to it, so it becomes your default mode.
Right, no doubt. Okay. That's what it is.
Right. Okay. Is there anything you have where, okay, this is too much, maybe you don't get this, where it's too much to handle, you've got so much going on, you're feeling it. Is there anything you've done to go, okay, time to step back, calm down here? Is there anything you've done with that or any technique you have? Because you do seem very calm, cool, and collected every time we speak.
Well, so I'll tell you what I do. If people come to me and put pressure on me, I don't listen to them. I try to deter them because if you need something from me or if let's say I failed and I'm taking responsibility in something, right? Sure. It doesn't mean that now I have to take upon your stress over me to resolve the issue. If I'm going to now be worried about what you're stressing and now it's becoming my stress, it becomes counterintuitive. You have to be able to push away other people's stress from you and just resolve the issues. You understand? That's what it is. Once you start taking upon yourself people's stress, your worry, their worry, you're losing the game. What are you worrying for? Yeah. That worry does not resolve the issue. Right. So you have to understand always if there's an issue that occurs, time and being smart and being productive and not counterproductive will make it successful. But if you're going to start pondering about the past, why did you do this? Why did you do that? How did you do this? Okay, I did it. It happened. You're now contemplating why I did it. Now, we're not talking about a person who does things on purpose, right? We're talking about a person who constantly, a person who doesn't, focus on time or a person who's always late, but if a person's always late, then, what I tell people, if a person's always late, there's only two ways to change that person. Either A, you disconnect yourself from that person, right? Because you say, listen, you're always late. We can't work anymore. It's not going to work. Or you be smart. You tell them the meeting's at 2:00 and it really is at 4:00.
Which is a way to control the situation as well. So
Exactly. You tell Liz, it's 2:00. I'll see you at 2:00. Right. You come late and you're there at 4:00. And then, one time when he comes there on time, you say, where is everybody? He says, dude, this now you learn.
right. Exactly. That's interesting. Right. Okay. So I see. So what you're saying is in terms of stress and mindfulness and coping with these everyday stressors, people will constantly come to you to kind of put their stress on you, but you have to put and say, no, we can solve the problem. We can work together, but I can't take it on me as well.
Well, now that's saying it, not taking it all on me is like you're relieving yourself of responsibility. What I'm saying is a little bit different. And hear what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is as follows. A, for you, you cannot be in control of everything.
Right.
But if you want to be in control of everything, you must be ahead of the game on everything.
Okay. If you can't control everything, you must be ahead of the game on everything.
To get in control. That means if you know you want to do X, Y, and Z, don't wait till the last minute to do X, Y, and Z, because then you're for sure not in control.
Right. Then the time or whatever the stress is controlled.
So like you surf the web, learn to surf time. Learn to surf time.
Benny, have you thought about writing a book on your own wisdom? You have so many nuggets here that you're sharing. I would read it. Even a little coffee table book with that, you know.
Well, listen, hopefully with all these podcasts we're doing, I'm going to write a book after it.
Yeah, we just kind of encapsulate the quotes and take them out. And
then we start. And then, of course, I'm going to add a lot of more things that I haven't said. There's no doubt about it.
I think we need T-shirts with some of your quotes on the back of them. That would be great merch. So, you know, Benny says this or that, because this is great, and it's really making me think. And this is great. Now, all of this that we're talking about, this mindfulness, there is science behind this all, behind these practices, the different benefits and stresses. And another show on the iShook network, of course, is Midnight Matters with Kira. Midnight Markets.
No problem. It does matter. The midnight does matter.
It does matter, right. And I'd like to, because she is a scientist and she delves into all this, and I'd like to speak to her about that. But if you're watching and haven't checked out Midnight Markets yet, definitely do. It's under the iShook network. And again, as we're watching, iShook Benny, there's so much going on with iShook that can help with your work-life balance, with your mindfulness, between the AI, between iShook Daily, where you have everything right there that people can just go on to iShookDaily.com and check different things out. So there's a lot of things that help integrate mindfulness in your daily life within the iShook umbrella, which I just wanted to point out for everybody watching as well.
Yeah, definitely. And one thing that I would suggest to everybody, if you're doing video content creation, you go to ClickTalk. If you're doing more of a holistic of content between video and writings and whatever it is, audio, then you could definitely go on YChat app, or you go to the iShook.com website. And the iShook.com website is a social media website. And we implore everybody, join iShook.com, because we're probably the only social media site that you can upload audios, you can upload videos. You can upload PDFs. You can upload, which is one thing I love. Like I never, from the right mind, never understood why PDFs were not allowed to be uploaded or part of the system. And I think PDFs should be uploaded. Now, for sure, we're gonna end up adding a lot of security because we want to make sure all the audios are not hate speech. I mean, that's the number one thing I do not tolerate in our platform. But listen, whether you're a racist or not, I'm not here to define what you are. You be you, right? And I always tell people, oh, we got to take out all the racists and the social medias. I'm like, no, let them be on there. It says, why? And people ask me why. It says, because now we know who's the real racist.
That's right. Expose them.
If social media can expose who you are, then fine, let's expose it. I mean, but there's obviously limits. There's limits to how much you can be exposed. But if you believe in neo-Nazism, or if you believe in fascism, you believe in Marxism, by all means, you want to talk about Marxism, talk about it. Thank you. Now we know you're Marxist. You know, like that's the way I look at it. I mean, like, but our main social media is more academic, more intellectual integration of social media. And that's what we want. And we'll reward people's for comments and for other things of that sort.
Okay. I like that. So if you go to iShook.com, you can register right there. You can click right there, register, get on there. And again, there's so much here that you can get into having discussions, meet like-minded people. And you can even just really help with your own work-life balance by doing this, because it gives you all these tools to do it. So I just would be remiss if I didn't discuss that during it. But I do want to talk about mindfulness in communication, because I want to go through that. Don't forget, we have action items coming up that you could take with you at the end of the show. Then we're going to preview our upcoming shows as well. So there's a lot still to go on today's episode. Mindfulness and communication. So Benny, you're obviously a master communicator. I fancy myself pretty good at communication as well. I make a living with it. So this involves mindfulness, being fully present, being attentive during interactions, active listening without judgment, right? And expressing your thoughts and emotions with kind of a clarity and compassion. And that's something that I think by practicing mindful listening, individuals, they improve their understanding, we strengthen relationships with each other, and you can then resolve conflicts more effectively. So have you always been your whole life just excellent at communication. Obviously, you are now, and that's an asset to you, and that helps excel yourself and your business.
No, I have not always been. I have not always been. But I tell you what I am now, and it's a growth to it. What I learned already is if I'm communicating with someone, right, I am not going to assume I am capable of understanding you, right? So if there's something I don't understand, a word I don't know, I will ask you, what does that word mean? What do you mean by it? Right? And you need to say that. You need to say in order to pull out and to learn how to understand the person. Like assumptions and assuming is never the right thing to do.
Interesting. Great. So you're saying let your ego go and ask for clarification. And that will get you what you need.
Right. And you can only do that if you have empathy to the next person. So if I have empathy to you, that means I'm here to listen to you. I'm here to comprehend what you're saying. And I think the biggest disease that the whole world has today is lack of comprehension. I think that's the biggest problem. I don't think it's education. Okay. I don't think it's anything. I think we're not educating people comprehension and consequences of their actions.
And what do you think? Is there a root cause of that? Is that from just maybe being fed so much that they are now with all this
consumption? I think that's one thing because of the social media consumption. The other thing is the trade schools have been shut down more than the actual schools themselves. So we've traded off real hardworking men and women on a trade, and you see that a lot in social media, where a lot of people today are taking a house and they're social and they're saying this is what we're doing with the house, and they're showing techniques of construction. You see that it's in the nature of a human person to be in trade. What the trade itself is traditional. I'm gonna tell you one person. I'm not gonna mention his name, who taught me a lesson in life. Okay. And he said, this is the rule of man. People have three characters in the workforce. Okay. One works with their brain, one works with their mouth, and one works with their hands. If a person can do all three, he's a gift to the world.
Unstoppable. Right. Interesting. And if you have one or two of the three, you can cultivate and work towards it to get all three.
Exactly.
Okay. So how did you become then such a great communicator if you said you wasn't just something maybe just inherently?
So we said this in the previous episode, reading. Mm-hmm. If you don't read, how are you going to talk? It's like Jordan Peterson says, become a wordsmith. How can you become a wordsmith if you don't go and apprentice to be a wordsmith? The apprenticeship is in front of you. There's millions of books out there for you to apprentice yourself to be an apprentice from those books.
You can become a student
of almost every writer in the world. I mean, that's the reality. You can be a student. Go ahead.
No. The beauty of that is, and I tell this to my own children, I tell it to myself because I read a ton, is that when you're reading a book, you get however long it takes you, say it's 5 hours to read the book, you're getting that person's entire lifetime of garnered wisdom distilled into you, becoming a fabric of your own being in a few hours. It might have taken them 50 years to garner that knowledge. Now you get the benefit of it in 5 hours. So now you've got that, and then read another one and another one, and you get all that wisdom, and that becomes imbued as part of you as well. And that's, I'm with you there. We are definitely a like-minded in that sense. I read a ton. I implore my children to read a ton, and not just ridiculousness, but real books, real literature, real everyday.
Even stories, let them learn stories, because stories is good for a formulation in the mind where people don't, like if you teach your kids how to read, if they read real stories, they won't make up bad stories.
Interesting. Okay. If they read real, I'll say that again.
If they read real stories, they won't make up bad ones.
Okay. In what sense?
So for example, let's say they want to express to you what happened to them in life, but they never, or a situation that occurred, they'll never be able to formulate the exact story if they never read how stories should be presented.
I see. Right. Okay. Right. Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense in anything. If they have anyone, if you have a great idea, but can't communicate it, haven't learned how to communicate it.
Okay. Well, that's the point. We do the most communication in history today, but we teach less. We don't teach any much of it.
Wow. Right. Interesting. Yeah. If you think about it, right. Where is that improvement? If you look back to Homer and the Odyssey, right? The Homeric writings, has English language and communication improved much past that? Not really. No. So all the technology.
But historically, what was the art of communication? Letters. That's why literacy was, they didn't want people to learn how to write. To defeat the communication. Who was writing? Only aristocrats. All the elites were writing to each other because they had the education of the art of writing, which
they
was
knew the art power.
Which is the art of communication.
Yes, right. And with that ability to communicate your thoughts was the ability to just fill your thoughts and have and gain the power.
Yeah. Right. And we're still doing communication via text itself. But rather, it's not a letter form anymore. It's textual form. But it's very bad letters, very bad way of communication. Emojis that don't mean what they mean, and you get confused. I mean, I remember one person said, what the heck is going on? We're going back to hieroglyphics. I mean, we've advanced so far in communication. Now we're going to pictures.
It's true. And you can't get, when you're texting, you can't get if someone's being sarcastic or joking or not, because it's just there. And I ended up getting into a text argument with my brother, and I go, "That's not what I meant at all." We had to get on the phone.
I want to say a little dirty joke, but if anyone will go back in time, they'll say, "Why are people emojiing so many eggplants and pears?" What's going on? Did the whole society eat so much eggplant? And then they started doing research. Where's the eggplants? What's going on? Like, what the heck is that? Why are we saying something that's not what it is? You know, that's the problem in society. We're saying today what's not, and it is. That's not reality, but we're connecting into some sort of reality. What the heck is that? And it's becoming the snowball effect. Now, literally everything is not. Yeah, everything becomes in a pronoun or a noun on something that's not realistically there.
It's interesting, right? Because if someone looked back in 200 years ago, they go, "Wow, what an agrarian agriculture society! It's all eggplants, all this communication. It must have been, a monetary system. You know, like used to trade with whatever, chickens and things."
You would never know. We would never know. But the thing is so what I'm trying to tell people is that what you are is what you've invested your time in. That's the reality.
Right. What you are is what you're. Right. That's true. Right. And if you're constantly just sitting there, passively watching, passively viewing, how can you give out back out to society? You can't. So
your life lesson. Just go like this. So just
fly. And again, when we tie it back to mindfulness and work-life balance, you won't have that kind of mental capacity or focus because you're only used to giving distilled 8-second clips of things. And where is that focus? Where is that balance? So fascinating. So I love that. We're learning a lot. We're covering a lot. Let's get into some action items for the viewers and listeners. I've learned a lot this episode, and this has been fascinating, and I love it because we're really tying in ancient practices, modern technology, ancient mindsets and thoughts. I even learned typography, the modern use of it, that Benny's not there with a printing press with a quill pen. And although they got it done then, that was the technology with the old Gutenberg presses, I believe it was. Let's see, if you're saying, okay, well, guys, this is fascinating, I love it, but what can I do? What is this simple technique I can do as soon as this show is over to improve my mindfulness, my own work-life balance, because I want an action item. So number one, this is so simple. I've done this. No matter where you are or what you're doing, you have a calm base at the center of you that you can tap into with a simple breathing exercise. Tap into your own soul, your own center. Right. So just take a few minutes a day. You have to practice just kind of a deep breathing. It calms your mind. It reduces stress. It just sets a tone and it does it. And this can be spiritual, religious, anything. It could just be a moment of breathing. And that's it. And I love that you have that power no matter where you are, Benny, where you can just go, "I'm taking a breath and I'm going to calm my nervous system." So that's one action item somebody can do in 1 minute and get a lot of benefit from it. There's not a lot of things in this world for free and for 1 minute that you could get benefit. So there's number one. Number two, we discussed practice mindful eating. Slow down during your meals. Chew your food thoroughly. Not only will this help with your own digestion, but your enjoyment because you have that mind-body connection there. And so you can also pay attention to your own hunger when you need to stop and eat before you're depleted and full. So you don't overeat because oftentimes we're full. We're just still eating because we're doing different things. And that helps as well. Schedule some mindful breaks. I'm like you, Benny. I will go and go and go. And sometimes I'll ignore these kind of cues and breaks. So if you can incorporate these short mindful breaks, like we discussed JFK did while running, being the leader of the free world, 20-minute breaks throughout the day, this helps you reset. This helps you refocus. And you can leverage a lot of different things. You can look up on, I should say, iPlatform and say, okay, schedule mindful breaks for me. You can do this. You can get tips on mindful eating and even have it give you simple breathing exercises. You can incorporate technology, AI, and an ancient practice like breathing into your daily thing, even through mindfulness apps. That would be tip number four. There's a lot of mindfulness apps out there. Explore mindful apps to give you guided little meditation sessions, mindful exercises, if you can't do this on your own. And this is something that we do here on the iShook Experience, which is mindful communication. Betty's talking, I'm listening to him, I'm talking, he's listening back, active listening and mindful communication. This is your interactions with others personally, professionally, and it benefits everybody because we all get something out of it. It's also just respectful, makes everybody feel better about themselves. And these are tips that you can do. You can implement them easily. You can implement them for free. You can implement them with technology. And this is something that you could take away right away. So, Benny, as we're wrapping up this episode on mindfulness and work-life balance and communication, we learned a lot and added the action items and things. So let's look at, you know, just as an example, the rest of your day. I'm sure you have meetings, family things to attend to, community things to attend to. Is there anything planned in your day to say, okay, I'm going to make sure I'm focused on the task at hand and not looking forward to be present? Is there anything that you would suggest that we can do to be present while we're doing what we're doing? For me, it's focusing on breath before I do something, then getting into it and I'm there. What would you suggest there?
So the suggestion is people have to learn to live in the moment they're in. That's important. Okay. People are never living in the moment that they're in, and it's induced because of social media. You're always living in other people's moments.
Right, FOMO.
Right. So basically you need to live in the moment that you're in and the task that you're in. Once you do that, you will win the game.
Okay. So be in the moment you're in instead of looking to the future or looking what someone else is doing.
Or what you've experienced in the past. You got to accept what's done to you in the past, move forward, but then don't move forward in other people's paths. Move forward in the path that you set yourself. That's it. Once you have that mindset constantly in your mind, you will win.
Interesting. Okay, right. And I love that because I see that. I was on vacation somewhere at like a tropical bar. And Benny, I was there with people and you're thinking they've been planning on this vacation for months. And when they got there, they were flipping through Facebook. And I'm not judging, but I was shocked because I'm going, you're here right now. This is what you wanted. But now you're living somebody else's experience vicariously instead of being present, instead of being there. So that's your suggestion to do that.
Exactly.
Okay, right. I think a lot of people don't even realize they're doing that, that they're so splintered and not being present there.
They're not understanding it. They're not seeing it because they don't, again, it's something new. Social media is new. It's a new behavior. So we're like, society has reset itself with this behavior. But if you go to places that don't have social media, they already have the same construct of what it should be.
Right, because it's so, our minds haven't caught up with the technology, right? We have thousands of years of evolution in our mind.
Not just that, 100 years, 200 years of America, 100 years of the best of America, let's say, not, you know, minus the times of slavery, but in general, the years of family construction and how we're supposed to be living and morals have been embedded. But now things have changed. You know, what is in your home has been exposed to the public. Never has your home become part of the being exposed to public society.
Interesting. Right. Okay. Right. That's true. Everything from your children being there and having a voice, and everyone, it's been so democratized that we all have voices now. So interesting. Okay. I like that. That's fascinating. Yeah. You just don't think about this.
Right. I think we're going to have to conclude already. Right. Because as we know, we got to get to other meetings, other business deals.
We do. Absolutely. So I just want to plug, we're going in the future. We have an episode coming up based on what we discussed today, emotional intelligence and communication skills and work-life balance. I want to sign off and plug iShookDaily.com, daily blog, ClickTok, 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 iShookAI.ai, iShook.com, social media app with integrated chat GPT. Check it out at iShook.com, iShook Experience. We've got the podcast. We've got the whole thing going. It's growing. We want to hear from you. Benny, an honor and a pleasure as always. I learned a lot. I had such a great time. I felt like we were doing this for 5 minutes. So thank you so much.
I love it. I love it. And till the next episode, guys. Till the next episode.
Yeah. Thank you, Ben.